A line expands into TV static. White letters appear. HBO. A circle inside the O. Shards of white fall into place to make words. HBO Documentary Films. Locomotion Films present. A dark-haired man with a backpack climbs up a wrought iron gate.
Ooh.
He struggles to lift his leg.
Not as easy as I remember.
You remember doing this?
No, but I was younger once.
This is my elementary school in Brooklyn, PS 194. It's a Saturday, and the gates are locked.
Shit.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And this is me.
A gray-haired man in a black tee climbs the gate.
And this is me in fifth grade.
Words appear. When we were bullies.
But let's start the story in the middle. This is me in 1992, and I'm living in San Francisco. I'm making a film called The Smell of Burning Ants, which is about boys and growing up male.
Black and white footage plays of a boy throwing another boy down.
The spark for the film came when I saw this scene from a 1960s educational film.
Two boys shove each other as two others watch.
But the moment that really got me was when a third boy throws a quick punch. When I saw this collaborator, I saw myself, and a memory jolted me, a memory that I hadn't thought about since fifth grade.
A classroom in black and white.
It was just three frames of film, a split second.
Outside, two boys square off.
If I would have blinked, I wouldn't be telling you this story.
The two young boys in the black and white film face off in slow motion.
Fast forward 2 years, I'm still working on that film. And I'm looking for someone to do voiceover because I really don't like the sound of my own voice.
A hand takes film from a metal device.
At the time, I was teaching a film class.
In black and white, hands cut a roll of film.
The students were showing their final films, and I was taken by the voice in one particular film.
A title, Cat.
This film is about a cat.
A cat falls slowly.
The cat fell.
The narrator's name was Richard.
Finn.
He lived nearby in Berkeley. So we met at his house. As he looked over my script, he took notice of the following line. He was raised on concrete, box ball, stick ball, punch ball, slap ball. Richard then turned to me and asked,
"Are you from New York?" And he said, "Yeah." And we did the New York thing. "Where are you from?" "Brooklyn." "Where are you from?" "What part of Brooklyn?" "Cheapside Bay." "Really? Wow. Where'd you go to school?" You said, something, but then I said, "Where would you go to elementary school?" Which was an odd question in many ways, but you said PS 194, and I just could feel the electricity. It's like, because I went there. And then I said, "How old are you?" And you told me, and we were the same age. And I just said, "Whoa, wait, what's your name again?" You said, "James Rosenblatt." And I'm, "Who's your fifth grade teacher?" And you said, "Mrs. Bromberg." And I was like, stunning, because we had the same class. I remembered you. And I was trembling. And then you, I don't know what, your reaction was pretty similar. We were both kind of like that. And then you said something that, you said, "Turn the page." And I turned the page of the script. And the first line was, "In fifth grade." And it was like we had, what? And it was like this whole flood of memory of things that I hadn't even thought about for decades. Decades were there on the page. And then it was just stunning to think that somebody else was writing something about something that I was part of in 1965, 3,000 miles away, and here we are in feet apart from each other.
Richard then honed in on that exact same moment that triggered the idea for the film. That time we bullied this other Richard. Richard...
Two boys walk on a fence rail.
I mean, he could have written the words he was reading.
Kids run towards old cars.
For me, the memory was vague. All I know for sure is that it happened. And I participated.
The kids cross the car's roofs.
Oh yeah, one last thing. We got caught.
Shoes kick out the glass on one of the old cars.
Richard remembered details I had completely forgotten, or maybe I just blocked. like how Mrs. Bromberg would insist that we were totally silent and sit at attention with our hands clasped before she would let us go home.
A teacher scans a classroom.
But on this particular day, it was different.
Mrs. Bromberg ran a tight ship, and she wasn't going to put up with nonsense. So when she says, no one is leaving, I want it absolutely silent, and I will decide when you leave. And we all just kind of go, And it's taking a long time. You know, usually that's about a minute. You know, as a teacher myself, I know, you want to make a minute and then you go. It's going on and on and on. And finally she says, you can go. You would have left earlier, but Richard was talking. That was outrage. I wasn't talking. And then I realized people thought it was me, and I was going to get shit for it. I didn't want people being mad at me. So we pack up our stuff, and it occurs to me that it must have been the other Richard in the class, who we called Dick. That was his name that he was assigned in fourth grade when there were four Richards in the same class in Mrs. Weedman's class. There was Richard, I was Richie, there was a Rich, and then this other guy got Dick. And, you know, in the hierarchy of fourth and fifth grade, that's not a good thing. Yeah. So as we're packing up our stuff, I passed along to Michael Sorrell, who was right in front of me. I said, it was Dick. Get Dick. Pass it down. And it started getting passed down all the way down the line as we were walking down. And everybody heard it. And as we get out of the building, he must have heard it as well, because he starts running. But we all, as a mass, kept on running down the stairs and surrounded him and jumped on him. I jumped on him, and Michael Sorrell jumped on him. That's what I remember the most. Girls were jumping on him. It was, like, out of control, but we were all angry at him.
Now let's pick up where we left off. At the locked gate of PS-194.
God, I don't like this, Richard. I don't know where to put my foot.
If you can get that foot down, and then just your other foot over, then if you can move your hands to the fence at some point. Don't come down fast.
Outside in daylight, Jay, the gray-haired man, leans on a brick column as he struggles atop the iron gate.
It's almost as if you can almost see the spot. You know, it just feels like it was right here.
In the schoolyard, Richard points.
There's something right here. And this is where we surrounded him, and some kids spit on him. Everybody's taunting him with whatever everybody wanted to do, it seemed. It seemed like everybody had free will to do whatever felt like he deserved. And this is where I remember, at this point, being a bit of an instigator. And I remember being on my knees somehow, and then looking back, we're here, so perhaps I was punching him, perhaps just spitting on him, just perhaps yelling. I don't remember the specifics of what I did, but I do know Michael Sorrell, another student, was next to me, because everybody stops and we look up and we see coming down the stairs Mrs. Bromberg and Dr. Pincus, the principal. Everybody gets up as one and starts running and running.
Then I remember the next day coming in, and Mrs. Bromberg sent Dick out for an errand and then just turned to the class and just said, you are animals, and really gave us a going to, yeah. Wow. So it's just, so I, you know, from my perspective, it was like I was trying to keep me from getting the wrath of the class and pinned it on him.
Children hurry from a school.
This experience had clearly affected us both. And the more I delve into it, the more upset I am that I was involved.
A boy rolls down a hill.
And, as I was soon to learn, we were not alone in this memory.
Text appears under a magnifying glass. The smell of burning ants.
So I finally finished my film, and it seems to hit a nerve.
A large black ant moves behind orange flames.
A local newspaper wants to do a cover story on me and my work.
A younger Jay poses.
At some point, I end up telling the writer about that weird coincidence with my narrator, Richard.
A young boy holds a large camera.
He is clearly taken by this story, so much so that it becomes a big part of his article.
The article fills the screen.
A couple of decades later, while making this film, I asked him why.
I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, I was a kid who was bullied. I was the fat kid in grade school. You know, the idea of being that sort of fourth kid called Dick, who was the target of regular abuse, humiliation, you know, it's when you're that kid, it's sort of like it's death by a thousand cuts. You know, it's not just one incident. It's sort of just being in that state, and you're not sure when you're that age and when you're that kid when you're going to get out of it.
He even researches the incident.
I found a website devoted entirely to PS-194.
And there were class photos for every year. But for some reason, my fifth grade photo was missing.
Cut to black.
And then I get this email from a woman named Wendy.
An email types out.
She had gone to elementary school with me. In fact, we grew up in the same apartment building.
Outside, kids eat ice cream.
I remember when we were 5 years old, we played You Show Me Yours and I'll Show You Mine in her bedroom closet. Anyway, she had heard through the website that I made a film that involved PS-194 and that I was looking for our fifth grade class photo.
And I had that photo, so I sent it to you.
And then she asked,
if this had anything to do with that bullying incident that happened with Richard on the schoolyard.
What was it about this event that we all zeroed in on?
He sat sort of diagonally in front of me, and he used to sort of sit in an awkward position, and he would always reach his hand out and put it on my desk. And I didn't like it, but he did that. He did it repetitively. It must have been repetitively because one day I brought a little pin to class. He put his hand on my desk and I just gave him just a tiny little prick. And I still remember the look on his face. He didn't know that I had done anything. He was just in shock and he pulled his hand away.
Wendy, a middle-aged woman with brown hair, sits nodding.
But I'm kind of feeling guilty to this day that I did something like that.
Lips pursed, her eyes drift down. Cut to black.
2 years later, I get the email that in the back of my mind I always feared I might get. It is from Dick. He writes, I heard you've made a film about me.
Words type out.
I write back that it wasn't exactly about him, but that yes, there was a story in it that he was a part of.
Footage shows boys fighting.
I assure him that I changed his name. He writes back that he'd like to see the film. I tell him that I would hate to bring up any painful memories that he may have buried.
One boy grimaces as he lunges at the other.
He says he's been a television producer for the past 20 years and has been quite successful. In other words, he can handle it.
A DVD enters an envelope.
I send him a DVD. And I never hear back.
The envelope closes and disappears, leaving only darkness. Daytime outside, walking through the gate of PS-194.
16 years go by, when out of nowhere, I get an invitation to a 50th anniversary reunion of PS-194.
Snow lines the wall and fence of the schoolyard.
Is the universe trying to tell me something?
The hands from Michelangelo's creation touch.
And at that moment, it hit me. I have to speak to my other classmates about what happened that Friday in fifth grade. I decide to track down whomever I can find.
On a black background, cutouts of old classmates' photos fall like dominoes in a line.
Richard and I are here to go to the 50th reunion of PS-194. which I think you agree is strange, that there's a,
right.
a reunion for grade school?
Yes, it is strange.
I don't know.
It's morphed into a little more than that, but it is strange.
I know, but I never heard of it, that people do this. Right. So I'm wondering if this is unique or we're just
right.
out of it.
I think it's unique.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
Okay.
Jay walks through a black doorway into a restaurant. White writing appears on a black background. It was crazy to think I could film in here.
Although I couldn't film at the reunion, I do meet a schoolmate who flew up from Florida. She tells me that a few years ago, Mrs. Bromberg came into the ophthalmologist's office where she works.
Eyes peer through a device.
She then tells me that Mrs. Bromberg moved back to New York and is still alive. And she offers to help me find her.
A photo of the teacher fades to black.
But first, I wanted to speak to my classmates to see what they remembered.
Rows of old photos of Jay's classmates appear. Jay and another boy's photo spin beside phones.
I'm searching deep in the bowels of my memory for this to jump out at me or come to me. But I gotta tell you, I got nothing.
No, because I don't think I was there. And I got the idea with something that happened in the schoolyard.
Yeah, I don't recall anything specifically after school, but I certainly remember Richard.
He always struck me as someone who was on the outside.
I remember him being awkward, not comfortable in his own skin.
I believe it was in the schoolyard. I remember a sort of a circle around him, and the chanting, and I remember him breaking away and pushing out of the circle and running home.
The photos circle a blank figure.
You know, I don't think anybody was friends with him. Kind of the worst thing you could do is shunning, which I've learned over the years being in education. Shunning somebody cuts them off from all social ties. And in many ways, that's what we did with Richard. We shunned him so that if you befriended him, you were then shunned as well.
I remember what an annoying...
A boy smiles in a photo.
He brought me to a point where I had to punch him in the face in the schoolyard to get him away from me, to just leave me alone.
I mean, he definitely marched to a different drummer, but I don't think we were nice to him.
I just remember he would just explode and then burst out crying at the drop of a hat.
Well, at least I think in our case, we picked on him just because he seemed vulnerable.
We were actually kind of friends. I had been to his house, he had been to mine. I remember working on projects together with him.
You know what I remember? I remember the saddest thing of all, which was your brother.
Jay smiles with his brother.
That's what I remember, and just what a difficult childhood that must have made for you.
I remember him being very intelligent. When he spoke, he did not speak like a child. He almost spoke like an adult.
Beyond his years in one aspect, and yet very immature in others. I remember him never using the word bathroom, lavatory.
I remember him throwing his notebook and pencil at the teacher. And I remember being really shocked by that kind of behavior. You know, it's like, whoa, who does that?
And I remember you were unfortunate enough to lose your brother at a very young age.
I just remember him as being an off-key kid. But I was off-key myself. I remember having the whole class being punished for something. Now, I probably was not brave enough back then to say that's not fair. And I remember that her response was that tough. Mrs. Bromberg could be a bully, or she could have been just a very strict teacher.
I just felt drawn to you because I felt what I thought was your sadness. And I don't even remember if your brother was older or younger.
Jay stands in a home movie.
He was younger.
His brother stands nearby.
2 years younger.
Okay.
More photos appear.
I recall that I was an obnoxious kid. So I would have had no problem taunting somebody else. You know, naturally also being that you were in fifth grade, you know, when you were in fifth grade, you were very insecure about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whenever you're insecure about yourself, you're always trying to make yourself better by putting other people down.
I know there were times where I would just like, you know, sneakily give him some kind of emotional jab or something. And now, being a bully, to me, is like one of the most disgusting things anyone could do, so. It just bothers me, because he was nervous, and I contributed more to his nervousness, and that really bugs me.
So as a class, like, we all witnessed this, or some of us remember, some of us don't, and Richard has his own story that he lived into, and I would be so interested in that. Like, he might be just fine.
It was a different time, a different era. I'd apologize, and I'd have a lot more compassion for him, because by the grace of God, he could have been one of my kids or grandchildren. But at that time, I think poor Richard was left out on an island. And God knows, how painful it must have been being inside his head.
A cutout of Jay's school picture rises up.
Okay. Aside from Dick, I interviewed everyone I could find. Sadly, three of my classmates have passed away.
Three silhouettes appear.
Eddie, my best friend throughout grade school, died at age 50 from throat cancer. And I still miss him.
Faces fade into the silhouettes.
And Marilyn died at age 60 from ovarian cancer.
The faces fade back to black.
And Jerry died a few months after I interviewed him at age 64 from a heart attack.
Say hi to anybody you do speak to. Tell them what you just say we spoke, and send my regards.
Fade to black. Young Jay's picture floats up from below.
Here's what I've learned so far. 1. In a way, I still feel guilty. And I have to ask myself, am I trying to atone by making this film?
The boy sits holding his cheeks.
2. I never realized how much Mrs. Bromberg calling us animals affected me. And I now remember the shame I felt.
Young boys flail on the ground.
3. I'm starting to wonder if we are hardwired to pick up vulnerability.
Footage shows Jay holding his brother.
4. Although I thought I had hidden it from everyone, my classmates remembered I had a brother who died when I was in fourth grade and that I was shut down and unapproachable. 5. I really need to find Mrs. Bromberg.
Pieces fall, forming Mrs. Bromberg's picture. Cut to black.
Please leave me a message.
Jay sits by a window, staring down.
Yeah, hello, Mrs. Bromberg. This is Jay Rosenblatt, a former student of yours way back in 1965 and 1966. And I would love to speak with you. I will give you a call back in a little while, and hopefully we can connect. I hope you are well, and I will speak to you soon. Thanks. Bye.
Please leave me a message. Please leave me a message. Please leave me a message.
Jay's outfits change.
Hello?
Hi, Mrs. Bromberg. This is...
Yeah.
This is Jay Rosenblatt.
My ticket is bought. I know I posed as a call at this time.
Is this a good time?
Very good.
Okay, perfect. How are you?
I'm fine. I live as a senior resident. I'm 92 years old.
Wow. That's great. That's great.
But I'm still here.
I'm really glad to hear that.
Thank you. What can I do for you?
Jay stands at an apartment door. Text, The Bronx, New York.
Hello.
Hi, Mrs. Bromberg.
Forget the Mrs. Bromberg.
Hi.
The elderly woman smiles.
Hi, Bobby.
Nice to see you.
You look a darn good.
She sits on a black couch.
So tell me, what brings you here?
There's you.
Yeah, I was blonde.
You were.
She holds class photos.
Before that, I was brown.
Her hands tremble.
I don't think I recognize anybody.
Do you remember any bullying episodes?
Any what?
Bullying.
Bullying?
Yeah.
She stares off.
Not really. No. Do you?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you about it. I'm going to get to that.
Girls tend to be catty, even at an early age. With boys, if you can throw a ball and catch one, that's all you need.
And what if you were a boy that couldn't throw a ball?
She looks off momentarily.
Depends on the age. Could be a big problem.
Yeah.
Were you able to throw a ball?
I threw a ball well, but I knew boys that couldn't do that or didn't do that well, and they had big problems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because boys are who they are and what they are. Girls are catty all the time.
Well, boys can be pretty cruel, too.
That's different.
Uh-huh.
That's different than being catty.
Uh-huh.
You're talking bullying.
I'm just curious, why do you think kids pick on weaker kids?
Kids are tuned into that in the oddest way.
She crosses her arms.
The kids will pick up something that the adults can't see. Sixth sense or something.
Uh-huh.
And it happens all the time.
Right.
It happened to my daughter.
She got picked on?
She was never in with the kids. Ultimately, in the long run, she committed suicide, I think, because morbid obesity, and she was a respiratory therapist, so she undoubtedly knew the risks. Something was wrong, and I think she knew it. But I didn't.
I'm sorry you lost her.
Hey. Yeah.
She shrugs her shoulders. Cut to black.
I recount the entire bullying episode to see if it jogs her memory.
Does any of it sound familiar to you? Not at all? There were so many things like this?
That's right.
Right.
Through the years. It happened to you. That's why you remember.
So what do you think of this story I told you in general? I mean, about this whole bullying incident and this film I'm making, any thoughts or any questions? Do you have any questions?
No. I know what goes on. My daughter was bullied. I know what happens. In the film, I'm not sure people want to see it. I'm really not.
So you think people won't want to see my film?
I don't think so. That's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, you might be right.
It depends on how it's presented also.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't know. It could be tedious.
Mm-hmm.
It could be possibly very tedious to watch.
Inside, Mrs. Bromberg pushes her walker down a long hallway.
Mrs. Bromberg was right. I remember this because I participated. Why didn't I say stop?
Cut to black. Richard sits with his hand at his face.
If you could say something to the other Richard,
mm-hmm.
if you had that opportunity,
right.
What would it be?
Well, first, I'd have to say, do you remember me? And do you remember us being together in fourth grade and fifth grade? I'd be curious at what his memory is, because the concern I'd have is that it's not a big deal to him. It was part and parcel of his experience growing up. It's like one more thing, you know, and that I would make this big deal of whether it's an apology or a recognition that doesn't need to be made.
Old class photos of kids flash by.
So now is the part of the film where one would expect to meet Dick, the other Richard. I mean, it makes sense. In fact, that was my original plan, the big climax at the end. We all get to hear from Dick and hopefully see for ourselves that he turned out okay. See how resilient humans can be. Maybe not feel so guilty or ashamed. After all, we were just kids.
A boy appears with a bandaged cheek.
These things happen all the time. Who knows? Maybe he doesn't even remember the schoolyard incident. Anyway, there will be no Dick ending this film. Instead, I've decided to write him a letter.
A silhouetted student's photo shifts into place.
Dear Richard, I've made a film about the time we bullied you in the PS-194 schoolyard. I've interviewed everyone I could track down from our fifth grade class to see what they remembered.
Other school photos circle the silhouette.
What I didn't expect was that most people only had a vague memory of the actual incident, but everyone clearly remembered you.
The silhouette photo falls away.
My intention was to hopefully end the film with a face-to-face interview with you. But the further into the project I got, the less sure I was to bring the adult you into it.
Torn shapes move into place, forming the schoolyard.
As I was interviewing everyone, I started to feel like we were reenacting the bullying incident from 50 years ago.
The door of the school opens, revealing students' photos shuddering by.
It might be hard to believe this, but when I began making this film, I didn't consider how it might make you feel. I guess I'm not as sensitive as I thought. Anyway, on the off chance you might one day contact me again saying, "I heard you made a film about me," please know that the film is not really about you, but about us.
Jay's classmates' faces flash across a photograph.
What's become clear to me is that everyone carries pain. If you think about it, so much of life seems to involve hiding our vulnerabilities.
In a home movie, Jay walks with his brother.
In my case, it was losing my brother when I was in fourth grade and the intense survivor guilt that I carried and tried to hide. Yet through that pain, I can now see yours. And therein lies our connection.
The hands from Michelangelo's creation touch fingertips. Outside, boys wrestle on the ground. Jay's classmates' pictures gather.
In closing, Richard, what I can tell you is that everyone I spoke to wished you well and felt bad for the way you were treated. And finally, I simply want to say, I'm sorry.
Their faces turn to a blur that is wadded into a paper ball on a black background. Credits appear. A film by Jay Rosenblatt. Animation, Jeremy Rourke. Featuring Richard J. Silberg, Mark Athitakis, Wendy Newman, Bobby Bromberg. Music, Aaron Ian Walker, with a nod to Franz Schubert. Cinematography, Kirsten Johnson, Ellie McCutcheon, Jay Rosenblatt. Credits continue.
audio description created by Zoot Digital. Written by Ben Hicks. Narrated by Kelly Brennan.